So thank you guys for joining us. Tonight we're primarily just going to hear from Ryan and Esther. Want to thank them for the work they've put into to craft a schedule, the approach they've taken to have it be values driven and through a global lens is really what we were stressing this year, is just what's the big picture and how do we work towards a more equitable space for everyone, knowing that, you know, there's always going to be some push and pull and trade-off, but, you know, just trying to have one that is both global in its viewpoint and driven by our values of what's best for kids. If we have a little time at the end, you know, we could touch base on uniforms for next year. I want to share some information that keeps getting put off, but the schedule takes precedence. So without further ado, I will just turn it over to Ryan and Esther.
Thanks, Drew. And if you could give me sharing privileges and I'll share. Thank you all. And again, like David, I think you bring up something real quick with the lunch and recess that we haven't landed on. The big thing that Esther and I wanted to do was like Drew said, kind of align some of the vision and the direction that we want the school to go with an overall plan of the school. And so there are certainly areas that we can, we definitely want feedback on all of it, but also areas where this is certainly not set in stone. And I think like that's an example of whatever the teachers want, we can certainly make happen throughout the schedule. I also want to point out, I was chatting, you know, with different people, both Esther and I, you know, not only got the survey and the ILT's feedback, but we've been talking to individual teachers as well about some ideas. And one thing after we kind of shared out the schedule as we were receiving feedback, I just want to kind of point out and I think Drew and Esther and I, want to let you know that part of the reason that we're a little bit later this year is not only did we not know our bell times, we didn't know how long our school day was going to be. And that completely impacted, like Esther and I basically couldn't put the Tetris pieces together until we knew that. So we want to thank everyone for going over this now. We know normally in normal years, we'd have this kind of knocked out by this point of year. Chalk another one up, yay, for some struggles with knowing our bell times. So we want to kind of give you a quick overview, and then we'll share this. Actually, I'm going to put it real quick in the chat for you anyway, and then we'll share out the schedule itself. We'll handle any questions or any comments, and again, feedback. If there's something you see and you have a suggestion, we can talk it through. So as we went through this, the first thing that Esther and I really try to work on is, and we really mean this, maximizing our school's biggest and best resources, which is our teachers, by planning intentional supports that impact student growth. And what we mean by that is, especially we know this year, a lot of teachers have been flexed in tough directions and doing things that are out of their comfort zone. And we need to get back to the sense of normalcy of letting the experts teach the expert subjects. And then also letting teachers like STLs and ELA resource teachers really intentionally impact the most amount of kids. And so that was a big goal, especially in the elementary realm, of where we can get the experts in front of the kids for the longest amount of time. And for teachers in general, how do we build a schedule that allows you to teach and doesn't interrupt your day? We attempted to pay attention to the social emotional needs of all of our students, and there's still some work we can do on this. But things we considered along this is not only the addition of morning meetings and advisement classes, but also from feedback from you and feedback from the ILT, when do kids learn the best? What are the times of the day where they should have, you know, their literacy and math classes versus their specials classes? When is a good time for breaks? And we tried to be intentional to break up the days as best we could for the different age groups. We tried to very intentionally reduce class sizes where we could, and specifically that comes into play with ELD classes in elementary school, and then also reducing class sizes in the middle school, and we'll talk about that. And then when we can, giving intentional supports within classrooms. So what are areas where we can have an intentional collaborative goal of having multiple adults working on very clear supports in the classroom, and when do we need to pull students out to give those supports?
We also looked at language proficiency of our students. We wanted to emphasize again what Ryan talked about, the intentional supports, and especially our ELD students. So one thing, building this schedule, we wanted to make sure all our students are getting ELD according to their proficiency level. So we are including ELA-S, which you have not done in the past, as well as newcomers. So especially our newcomers, they want to see more proficient kids speak, you know, maybe make a sentence, and just the oral part and the written part of it. So we built that in the schedule, which we were not able to do in the past. Also, we are trying, as the district is pushing us, and we all know that it is important to have great reading foundational skills for K to second, and understanding that is comprehension through to fifth. So we are going to have intervention for these grade levels, which is really will impact our students, especially the foundational skills. Because we know very well if our students can't read and write, then they will have like negative impacts as they go to high school and they go to middle school. So that's something we were really looking at when we built the schedule. We also want to make sure the students are getting grade level work as well as the intervention. So that is built on that, such that it's not like a substitute, but addition of what the students are getting in the classroom. So I'm very excited about that.
That's awesome to hear about the reading intervention. A quick plug for the ELD groups. I'm not sure, but just in the back of your mind, if we can make those groups somewhat flexible during the year. So it's not like where you're placed in August, that's the class you're going to be in through May, but some intentional times to meet and regroup.
Yeah. That's David. Sorry, Esther. No. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Ryan. You go.
I was just going to say, yeah, I think that also has to do with like the similar goals that we have with newcomers, which is the idea of language is fluid and language proficiency is fluid. And so I think that's, we can certainly account for that, and we can have times in the year. And if our DDI process is really strong, we can flex across those ELD groups. And I think that's a great suggestion and something that we need to all talk about as grade level teams next year.
I'm talking, sorry. So for elementary school, in the past, we were not able to have these minutes. Look at the minutes we have now, very close to the district requirement of 140 minutes. We want to make sure the students are getting grade level work, they're getting the interventions, and they're also getting writing, because that was an area of concern in the past. We also increased the minutes of math from 85 to 90, that is above the district requirement. 45 minutes of social studies or science, then 45 minutes of specials. We also, again, ELD, that is something we are really looking like to change for next year to make sure that we are growing the students in the right direction. And at the same time, if the students are gifted and talented, they're getting that enrichment. So there is nobody who is being left behind, but everybody is getting what they need. And then we have 15 minutes of daily meeting, which will promote the social emotional learning. That's me again. So intervention for all students, ELA-S, newcomers, and ELA-E, we want that to be fluid across the grade levels, not across the grade level, it's getting all the intervention, and we are mixing those groups if possible. Then we have intentional pushing interventions. Again, we have 135 minutes. So if the intervention teacher is coming after the home group instruction, you're able to have like fluent grouping in your classroom, and you can rotate that groups. That means more bodies in the classroom, more instruction, and you're planning together with another person. We have lunchtime. We intentionally built like two grade level during lunchtime. For now, I know third and fourth are going at the same time, and first and fifth, they are going at the same time. Also, we were able to look at the blocks to make sure that the blocks are not being interrupted by specials or lunch where possible. Daily social emotional learning. I'm excited about the curriculum, which will adopt to help us with social emotional learning in the morning or at the end of the day. And again, we talked about increased minutes for literacy and math because we want to have more impact on our students' instruction. Not only pushing for grade level work, but also having the intervention the students need.
Can I make a quick mention that I know you mentioned co-planning for some of that push-in time, which I think is great, but just can we keep that in mind for PDs or planning times and how teachers can have those times free to share?
Yeah, thank you for giving us that. Do you mean during like DDIs or during the 45 minutes of planning?
Whenever and however whoever's going to be pushing into my classroom, for example, to make sure we have planning times that overlap. And if that could be structured or looped in with the DDI, that would be great too. But just finding time and space for that.
Yeah, and I also feel like the SPED team should be part of that because you're planning for the whole group. And if everybody's in the same page, then that is how we're going to push our kids to the right direction.
The other thing with that, David, is a lot of our STLs will be teaching our ELD classes. And so again, we've clustered our STLs for grade levels. And so for the most part, the STL that's supporting you with ELD will also be the teacher who pushes in with you. And so there's intentional overlaps. As much as we can, we're aligning planning and preps as well. So the middle school on paper has what structurally looks like the biggest change. And so I'm going to quick give an overview of that. We're going to have 6 1-hour periods on a daily basis in middle school. So again, if you're a student, you have your 4 content areas and either 2 specials or 1 special in your ELD class. The biggest change is moving to 2 middle school lunch periods. We were able to make that work with the elementary schedule, and I'll talk about rationale for that in a little bit. The lunch period is separate. What we've also done is we've intentionally set up a schedule that will keep class sizes to about 20 or less all throughout the day. The way we've done that is first, teachers, content and ELD teachers will teach 5 out of 6 periods. And so we are adding traditionally in a 6 period schedule here at PlaceBridge, the teachers taught 4 content. And so we've added 1. What that means is an average class size is projected to be about 100. So 100 divided by 5 means that we'll have 20 give or take throughout the day. The way we're able to accomplish this is through the idea that specials will be offered over the course of 3 periods, but each special teachers will still just teach 2 classes. That works out mathematically because over the course offerings over each period for middle school, we'll have 15 sections that kids can take. And so what that does is it gives an even balance throughout the schedule so that we know we can keep class sizes small. And just kind of very, very quickly, historically, we've seen this in all the years that I've been at PlaceBridge, a smaller class size at one part of the day and a much larger class size somewhere else. And that has to do with the different number of classes being offered each period. And so by streamlining it, we can ensure that our class sizes will stay consistent and they'll be smaller than what we've seen in the past. And then advisement will be every other week on those early release days. Right now, I believe we have an hour scheduled. And what that will allow us to do is there will be a new district SEL curriculum. It gives us a full time to actually teach that. If we had a 15-minute kind of advisement check-in each day, we wouldn't be able to get through the SEL lessons. And so a longer chunk of time, once every 2 weeks, will allow us to have a more intentional approach to some of those SEL lessons that we will be receiving from the district. And I think Drew's getting some trainings and some meetings on right now. So here's the rationale for some of this. So again, the biggest thing is by having 5 classes offered for the content classes, it will mean smaller class sizes. We will not have an intentional math or literacy intervention class offered. And so, and the rationale behind that is it hasn't been proven effective in any of the years that I've been here. And not just here, I had intervention classes in my old school when I was a teacher, and there wasn't an effective approach to it. So instead of struggling with that, we can make class sizes a little bit smaller and be much more intentional about the supports we give on our strong first instruction. And so that's going to be the goal for next year. We are able to maintain content plan time. So we are able to have the literacy teachers still have their plan together, the science teachers, et cetera, which allows for vertical alignment. and then the lunch rationale for lunch and recess is simply a numbers game. We have seen with COVID, having less students at lunch at the same time and recess makes for a much calmer recess. And I know it'll be bigger next year, but to give an example, I'm out there every day, almost every day with seventh grade. And man, they're like all actually playing together and laughing with each other, as opposed to 300 kids. And there's a little bit of drama over here. And so we all get involved in the drama. By splitting this up, this is an intentional sort of way to keep the social emotional emotions in check. And split it up. And so that's the rationale behind that. And we're hoping that that's going to have a nice effect on the tone of the middle school. It also does actually allow for more specials offerings because we don't have to have everyone have a special in the same class period, and we can space it out. The students will much more likely get their first choices for specials, and will also, because they're rotating through one trimester at a time, be able to be exposed to more things and more opportunities than what they had before. We're going from, you know, offering essentially 12 specials classes or, you know, 8 specials classes in one period and 4 in the other one, to being able to offer about 24 or so each trimester, or excuse me, 19 each trimester. So it's much more offerings for students. With advisement every other Friday, you know, it is going to, again, like I said, allow for some more intentional approaches to the daily curriculum. And then finally, I'm working with Don Joyce and Allison and Stacy. The 5 content classes will allow us to be a little more intentional in how we group our special ed kids, so we don't have to cluster them. We can have more time and space for some push-in services. And then within those, within the middle of the day when the specials classes are, that's also going to allow us to schedule some very small group pullout services where those students will still be able to receive a special another period. But Allison or Stacy can have very intentional small group pullout services to meet their IEP minutes. So that's the rationale behind some of those changes and adjustments. And so what we're going to do now is I'm going to share out what the actual schedule looks like. And I know it's sometimes difficult to kind of get a sense of things, but we did want to share out our thought process before you look at like the day-to-day breakdown. And so just a quick overview, and then we'll go to questions and comments, and I'll stop sharing. We have on the first page the overview of what the daily schedule would look like for a student over the course of elementary and middle school. Obviously, in elementary school, the math/literacy block would look different if they're platooning or if they are a self-contained classroom. And so understand that that's kind of why it's worded the way it is. The second tab is the middle school breakdown periods. So it actually show you who is teaching what and when. So that's a breakdown of that. The third tab is our STLs, our specials, and our ELA resource, and then eventually our SPED, we still have to work that out, what their daily schedule as a staff member would look like. And then the last one is the tentative early release schedule. So I'm gonna stop sharing as long as everyone can get into that, and then we can have some conversations.
Thanks, Ryan. Can I clarify just two quick things before we transition? Unfortunately, our early release has been granted for Wednesday, not Friday. So I just don't want to confuse folks. And I know that Kathleen and I have some problem solving to do there. But I, again, was told today that it's take it or leave it. It's Wednesdays. And then also the social-emotional curriculum that you're referring to is mandatory and being rolled out for all middle schools next year across the district. It will be mandatory for elementary schools the following year, and we have applied to be one of 20 schools who will be selected to be an early adopter for elementary, because we'd much rather roll it all out school-wide for common messaging, et cetera. But there's no guarantee that we will be doing an elementary adoption next year. There's just a hope. It will be officially rolled out in middle school next year.
So, Ryan, I have a question. How are the middle school students choosing electives?
Yeah. We need to do an interest inventory and an opportunity for all of you to get in front of the middle school students that, here. For this year. And then the specials will actually be scheduled first for all of the students, because that will kind of dictate some of the rest of their schedule. So we'll do that first. And then from there, as new kids arrive and new kids enroll, we'll do the same thing. We'll lay out a course offerings for them and give them their let them pick their top three, their top five, whatever. And then we'll do our best to make it work.
Okay. So you're kind of doing what we've done in the past. You're letting the kids choose first, second, and third choice. Is that correct?
Yep.
So not to be conceited, but every boy in middle school, what if they pick PE their first choice?
Yep, totally. And again, I think this is the conversation we have to have with kids. It's your choice. It doesn't mean you're always going to get it. My choice would be to work 12 hours a week. That's not happening. And so we're going to give the choice. We're going to schedule first around interests. And then eventually we're going to have to limit, that they may not get their first choice. The positive with this is with you teaching the boys, all students, not just the students who are not ELD students, but all students will have the opportunity of your two sections. So your two sections over the course of the year, that's actually six trimesters that we can schedule. So now six times about 20 kids, we're looking at more kids who have the availability. The plan, Kathleen, will be that we will have scheduled out before the first day of school their entire year worth of specials. So they'll have their choice for all three. So if PE is number one and they get it, they might not get it first trimester. It might be not until their third trimester. And so that's another thing we have to have that conversation with them about is one, experiencing some other specials, but then second, that your first choice doesn't mean it's going to happen in the first trimester.
So that means that a kid can't sign up to have PE all three trimesters. They have to rotate?
Yeah, we're going to rotate them. And that's the opportunity so that, again, if every boy in the building signs up for Kathleen's class over the course of the year, we can get them exposed to it.
I'll jump into elementary school if that's all right. So I'm seeing morning meeting times are different in different grade levels. So morning meeting is at the end of fourth grade?
So for fifth grade, especially because they're starting with their specials, then there is no way they couldn't have had morning meetings before specials, because that dictates like where to put things. And this year they have done it at the end of the day. So, and it was very successful, and just to check with the kids, like, how was your day? What can we improve? How are we going to do tomorrow? And also, if you notice, instead of starting at 9:10, they're starting at 9:15, just to have those 5 minutes of check-in when they come in before they go to specials.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I guess one thing just to keep an eye on is if we do get approved for the curriculum Drew was referring to, and I'm not 100% sure on this, but I think it called for roughly 15 to 20 minutes for lessons. So I'm just looking that if fifth grade doesn't have that built into the schedule at all, and then third and fourth grade just have 10 minutes, just that that's something to be aware of.
Yeah, the lesson, you're right. The lessons are 15 to 20 minutes. We haven't learned, I haven't gone to an in-depth PD. They're also recommending that you find times to weave it in throughout the day and connect to content areas, but you do need a chunk of time to just be intentional and address a certain topic.
Sorry, Ryan, I had another question. How did you decide which special teacher was A schedule and B schedule?
Yeah, so unfortunately, when you overlay the elementary and the middle school schedules, I wanted to, the goal was, and Nestor and I tried to make it happen, was to have like no period impact so that the day was the same for middle school. Unfortunately, to make the elementary schedule first, and we gave kind of preference of lunch to elementary because we believe that the elementary kids need preference for lunch. What we found was we couldn't fit two middle school lunches in unless we split them up. And so what that's done is it means that we've had to kind of split up our day. So half of the kids will be on A periods from lunch through period four and half on B. So importantly, again, also impacted specials because when we overlaid the elementary schedule, that was the chunk of time we had free. We were excited that we had the chunk of time to make it work, but unfortunately those two things ran into each other. My thought process was, as much as I could, I tried to offer, the mirror courses for everybody. And so Kathleen, yours is obviously gender oriented. So I made sure that you and Dave had a period that was together because it's gender specific. And I didn't want to try and end up like all the girls went down track A, all the boys went down track B. That didn't make sense from a scheduling. So yours is very intentional about having that opportunity where gym is a PE is available for both boys and girls at, you know, a similar time in the schedule. For all the others, it was a thought process of, like I said, almost stereo specials being offered to all students. And then also, what are the different course offerings over the course of that class period. So I wanted to give a little bit of diversity. I didn't want to end up having, all non-movement classes in the same class period. So it was thinking both vertically across the schedule and horizontally across the schedule about what would be the best way to expose kids to the most specials that they may be interested in. But having said all of that, it's subject to change. If there's a better way to do it, I'm all for adjusting. What we can't really adjust is the number of specials being offered at each time, because that corresponds with what content areas are being offered so that we can keep all of our class sizes at about 20.
Right. And thank you for that explanation. But I think my question is, so if I want to switch to the B schedule and David have the A schedule, is that appropriate? Okay, thank you.
Please, and I was going to touch base with specials teachers, about this, but yeah, that's all.
Okay, I thought you specifically put us in for some reason. That was my question.
No, okay. I thought what was best for, again, that vertical and horizontal approach to specials and being, giving as many course offerings to kids, if the specials teachers want to trade out, as long as it looks good from perspective of the kids' schedule,
we're cool with that.
Okay, great. Thank you.
So I'd just like to add a comment. And Ryan shared this schedule with me earlier this week, and then I took some time and just talked to as many of my colleagues up and down the halls here. I didn't go to the specials teachers because I know Ryan was talking to some of them. But everyone has very positive comments about the middle school schedule. They like the 1 hour classes. They like having the advisement on that 1 hour in the morning rather than having 15 minute homerooms. They like the small class sizes, you know, so I think everyone appreciates the efforts that went into crafting this schedule.
Where I had a question about breakfast in the classroom, is that, what time is that happening? And is breakfast in the classroom still happening?
It would be, and we didn't write it in and we should, but you know how this year, essentially the bell rings at 8:45 and classes start at 9:00. And that's when the time kids can come and get breakfast. It's gonna be a similar thing next year. I mean, buses will arrive, 15 minutes before or the bell, and that's when they can pick up their breakfast and eat it. It's also another, I think, benefit, like Esther had mentioned, pushing back specials and ELD kind of 5 minutes. It also allows the kids to finish their breakfast with their homeroom teacher before they hustle off the specials. Because I think it's unfair to ask specials teachers who have very different equipment and very different spatial alignments to have them also then clean up breakfast. And so that's what would happen. Mm-hmm. That would happen in that 15 minutes in between.
Okay, great. And then is the end of the day bell at 4:10? Like is 4:10 you're walking out to the bus? I'm seeing yes.
Yeah. Okay. Our bell times are 9:10 to 4:10.
Okay. I know the Tetris of this is ridiculously complicated. So maybe it just is what it is. But if we're saying that at least second, third, and fourth are having these morning social emotional times from 4 to 4:10. I mean, in all reality, teachers are getting packed up at least at 4:05, if not closer to 4. So and social emotional time is already, kind of gets pushed aside often. So that is something that I want to just throw out there is that maybe that's not a realistic expectation for teachers to be teaching a social emotional lesson for a full 10 or 15 minutes straight till 4:10.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I think just in general, you know, the Tetris pieces are aligned around the ELD/intervention block. And that's really where we wanted to invest in for the aforementioned reasons. My guess is there will be some wiggle room and some evolving around how teachers can craft their day around that, if that makes sense. We want to keep the blocks intact and we want to make sure that we're aligned vertically. But the way things shuffle out and the way teachers can approach stuff throughout the day, you know, that'll be a little bit more dynamic.
A question on is that like are pushing the whole school in breakfast in the classroom for every grade level? Just to clarify that.
Sorry, I mean, you asked about the whole school.
Yeah, are we pushing as a whole school to have breakfast in the classroom? Because we talked about that last meeting, and then, you know, I collected some data from all the teachers that K through second, and they all are like opposed to having breakfast in the classroom. And I just want to throw it out there for you guys. And is that a uniform for everybody, or, you know, what is that a negotiable, or I don't know. So
I like it. I mean, our thoughts around that kind of were derived from the experiences this year of having just the day start off so much more calm and focused for the school as a whole, and not having to engage in the management and difficulty. And this is coming from, you know, I was only here briefly last year before this year, But just the challenges around hurting every, you know, having large groups of kids starting off their day in a chaotic way in the cafeteria and then trying to herd them all to class, it just, it can make for a very challenging start to the day. So it's kind of like a social emotional strategy, for lack of a better descriptor.
That's good. I just want to hear that, because, you know, I don't know if it's something that we're trying as a whole school and we're standing firm on that, or, you know, we can, you know, so I just, when I heard last time, I thought it was something that we can get our teacher feedback on, but, you know, I'm okay to try anyways, but, you know, just want to throw it out. What's the teacher feedback are for you guys?
Did you guys talk about Wednesday/Friday or Y day, whatever? I'm not sure what that is. I just took a quick peek at the schedule, and I just want to throw out there food for thought. The 30-minute classes, I think, have been in an area of, I don't know if I'm going to say universal discontent, but it's just hard to garner success. I think some people, maybe middle school teachers, have had better success with it. Just throwing it out there to kind of maybe rethink and get creative with those Fridays as far as student access, content versus, you know, arts and that sort of thing, and kind of look at it. And, you know, I know we've talked about doing cultural things with the kids as well. Kind of look at those different ideas. I know I don't want to put words in your mouth, Ryan and Esther, but I'm pretty sure you probably just looked at it as, okay, we got to throw something fairly structural at the Wednesday because we just kind of figured out that we even have it. I'm just guessing. But it'd be nice if that conversation kind of opened up, because I think a lot of people on the staff have some cool creative ideas. And we might be able to capitalize on some things that perhaps the Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday schedule would not be able to capitalize on.
Yeah, Mike, I would just say that that remains open for something different and something creative. And we've talked about doing some stuff ground, maybe alternating between doing some things grounded in arts, assemblies, et cetera. And then we have some emerging ideas around doing some ongoing monthly science fairs and vertically aligned science projects and whatnot. And so I think that we do need to address the middle school advisement time there. And maybe that's a place where we could also bake in some additional SEL time for elementary. But then beyond that, I think we want to be open and creative with what those mornings look like and what that time looks like. And so that's kind of our next thing to start to hash out, and would love to work with you and the specials team to explore the arts thing, and going to continue to work with, you know, Meg Cypress and our incoming STEM teacher and some folks to explore the science piece. So that one's still a bit open.
Yeah. And I think mainly what I'm thinking of, and again, this is why I mentioned perhaps middle schools had more success, is that just the interaction between the 30-minute rotation with elementary teachers, I think we're all kind of walking down the hallway going, okay. And then instruction time for specials is just, we do the best we can to kind of make it a fairly loose, happy time. But as far as instruction goes, and just really trying to create success within that period of time, is really challenging.
Yeah, I would like to explore something unique and creative there. We're not prepared right now to bring forth something and say, here's what the plan is.
Yeah. And speaking of that, like, Mike, I agree 100% with you. Like, and honestly, it was just seeing like what fits and what doesn't. If we have to have a fallback schedule, the things we do have to plan for, on a early release day schedule. Sorry, I almost said Friday. On an early release day schedule is we have to show that students are getting ELD support for 45 minutes in order to make the legal mandate of 225 minutes per week. So that does need to appear in an elementary school schedule. We can get flexible, and we can talk with our MLE partners about the idea, like, a project that would be very much focused on, you know, language supports could probably be considered push-in ELD. That's something we can do, but it needs to appear in the schedule. And then also, you know, we do need to have the advisement time for middle school. What we were looking at was like, can we make this work? Can we get everyone through the lunchroom? Can we have a schedule where the specials teachers could have an assembly time, you know, in the middle of the day and either just not have specials on those days or make it work kind of on the early morning and the afternoon? But yeah, all of that is subject to change. And I just highlighted, like, I'd love to touch base with you about like, what are some opportunities? And again, our envision was that idea of very focused on some projects or some special activities. So like the middle school schedule has advisement, 2 hours of an open block and lunch. And that 2 hours of the open block, our thought was like the idea that over the course of the first 10 weeks, we could rotate the 5 advisement classes through each class and they could have a project, a day long project that's an exploratory open-ended. What we need to explore on those across all grades on those days is how do we instill an interest and a love of learning and an open-endedness to our curriculum or jumping away from our curriculum a little bit with science fairs, et cetera. We want the specials to be a part of that. And I think that's where we can certainly engage on what that could look like. So feel free to have those advice. And if we can get away from half hour classes, wonderful.
Yeah, and I'm thinking perhaps the next step is form a little small committee. Just, you know, Mike, I know we've engaged in conversation around this already. I've been talking to Meg and some folks. Form a small committee that can maybe just quickly hash out what that could potentially look like on those days to be able to just share it out before we wrap up this year if possible. I know we're crunched on time, but that's the next step.
Yeah, sorry. And I don't want to make it sound like I'm speaking for the entire school. I'm trying hard not to do that. I just want to make sure, Drew, that you understand that it's observational for me over the years and how it's worked for us as a specials team. If the staff really feels that way, I think there's, like you said, there's good opportunities to kind of put some cool stuff in there and be more impactful with our time.
Yeah, I look at it as an engagement piece where we get to mix it up. We get to, you know, go deeper into the arts, go deeper into science, project-based experiences, have some fun, maybe do some vertical stuff. And that certainly isn't going to happen with a bunch of little 30-minute chunks. So I just look at it as kind of a open opportunity to do something innovative and exciting for kids. We just got to start to hash it out now.
It's also a time to have, you know, to schedule in assemblies with guest speakers or guest performers so that kids get exposed to a wide variety of different things that, you know, enrich their experience here. You know, it doesn't have to be all content. And I think most middle school, at least the ones I've talked to, you know, they're like you, Michael, they do not like the 30 minute, you know, okay, what am I going to do here? Like, okay, kids, you know, make up the missing work.
Yeah. I don't think there's any intention of doing that. We just got to work out the ELD piece and whatnot. But yeah, like Alvina's putting in there, community building, school spirit, time to have some fun, celebrate, mix it up, do different things.
Yeah, have some field days or have, you know, elementary and middle school classes get together, mentor, do things, you know, share activities where maybe the older kids can, you know, tutor or mentor, you know, guide them through the activity so it's not teacher driven.
Can I ask about the elementary push-in blocks? I'm kind of jumping back and forth just so Ryan and Esther, you know, between that STL tab and the school overview tab. And I guess first quick question is, do fourth and fifth grade have any STL push-in support, intervention support?
Fourth, we have that fourth and fifth for ELA S. We also will be counting on reading partners, and also will have a math intervention time.
Okay, so there's no STL push in support for fourth and fifth grade, but the Beth and the Amanda Jackson STL roles are supporting first, second, and third grade.
Yeah, we still have Meg, and she has really great ideas which she'll bring on the table. Also, Sando will be there, even though they will be based on fifth grade. But Meg has been talking to me about great ideas on how she can flex her time and support those grades.
Great. And then I think I'm reading this correctly. So you guys are planning push-ins for 30 minutes after the beginning of a long block. So then my question is then, what's the philosophy with a push-in? Is this for the homeroom teacher to be teaching kind of the mini lesson, the core content, and then the push-in support comes to support with the independent work?
Yeah, because I've seen in the past whereby if it's for example, I've done like pushing interventions. Yeah. If I come and there is a home group instruction, I'm kind of floating there. But during groups time, I'm there, I'm pulling my groups, I have my lesson going. So that's how I was looking at with those lenses. I also increased the minutes to be around 50 to 55 minutes. That is time somebody can put two groups if they are really well organized. So
great. No, I love it. So I guess, because I feel like there's typically two competing ideas when they talk about push and support. One is you're supporting the core curriculum. So it sounds like that's what you're going with, opposed to the other being just supporting small groups with obviously content and standard related, but more needs-based. So rather than supporting with today's lesson in literacy, for example, they would just be supporting with leveled texts and decoding and comprehension skills. And you're saying they're going to be supporting more with students completing the independent activities associated with the curriculum.
So, and maybe I'm talking just from the math lens. If I'm supporting a student who is having, maybe they are doing digit multiplication, we can decide to do that using a less like a strategy which will get the students to the grade level work. So again, they're doing the same lesson, but it's more differentiated and more targeted to make sure they have access of that. That's how I'm looking at it. And if it's a text, when other students, if the students are 2 years below grade level, I can make that lesson more accessible to that student because I have lesser students than having like seven students. That's how I'm looking at it.
Great. No, I think that's awesome. I think that's a great philosophy behind it. I've done that at another school and I know the co-planning was a challenge. So I do think to make that successful, there's going to need to be time for those teachers to co-plan and talk through those lessons together and be on that same page. Because I think that model can struggle without that intentional co-planning of the teachers meeting.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Ryan or Andrew, if our DDS will be every other 2 weeks, that means our mornings are more open than when we used to do like every week. So that's a chunk of time to plan towards that and also planning weekly with the person you're teaching with. I think that will make it more successful.
Yeah, I mean, we still need to look at the year holistically, kind of map out, okay, when are we gonna, we've got our early release days, our additional planning time on a weekly basis, when are we gonna plug in PD, DDI, and planning time. So, but we want to make what you're saying a priority. And so, we have to take that into consideration when we're thinking about how to utilize that time. I mean, yeah, we're getting the early release back and that's a half a day every other week, but that time's going to fill up quickly. So we need to make sure that we're ensuring exactly what you're saying can happen, on an ongoing basis. And we might have to revisit just how we approach DDI and the frequency in which we approach DDI. So we'll be doing that as well. I do want to be mindful of time. It is almost 5:00. I would like to identify a time to come back and actually approve the schedule. I don't want to do it now because I want people to have time to you know, marinate on it, to talk to other folks, but would like to find a time when we can come back and approve it.
Can I just throw just real quick? Oh, I'm sorry, Davey. I was just throwing out there, and maybe this is just this year has been tough in this way from a communications standpoint all the way around. But just as far as like those morning times, if we're going to have the Wednesdays, just how, like you mentioned DDI, how, and it may not affect me, but just how those things interact and when teachers really know for sure if they're going to have to look at a morning time and be like, do we need to plan to have some kind of meeting there, whether it's a grade level or DDI or whatnot. And just as far from an expectation standpoint, so that teachers can kind of walk in with a little better understanding of like the sort of the defined nature of their plan time, for lack of a better term, so they can kind of hit the ground running. And hopefully that would then come around and support whatever DDI plan you come up with.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, my initial thinking is to avoid having real prescriptive times in the mornings, trying to have the more prescriptive times live in those early release days, and then just say, you know, your morning time is generally the time and space to do some of these other things. That's a high level, just initial answer, but that's just, you know, kind of how I'm thinking about it.
Sorry, I had one more quick question. If we're planning on platooning, what does that look like? Can we walk through any grade you choose? Because basically it looks like to me that there's a longer block. One of the blocks in like the morning block in third grade is longer than the afternoon block in third grade. And that's true for second grade and first grade as well.
So the way, I mean, that is a feedback we should have asked you, whether you know your grade level wanted to that to do that. But for sure, the grades which had requested from last year was only second grade, which wanted to stay self-contained. I haven't heard from another grade unless it comes up. And if it comes up, we are open to have that talk.
Okay. So then so looking at third grade as an example, that morning block is 2 hours and 5 minutes for that literacy math block. But then the long block in the afternoon is 1 hour and 45 minutes. So if I'm platooning, and correct me if I'm wrong, I might just be totally missing this, but if I'm platooning, mm-hmm. that means my morning class, I have 2 hours and 5 minutes, but in my afternoon class, I have 1 hour and 45 minutes.
There is a breakup, and we had the minutes worked out, so forgive us if something switched, but what, like the social studies and science block there, so if you're a kid, or David, for you, third grade, you would see your group one from 9:10 to 11:15, and that's, you would transition then, and so you and Michelle would switch kids, and then you would begin your literacy block during that time for group two. So again, that's probably your whole group instruction. We tried to make it like a 30 or 45 minute block if we had to split it up, while Michelle would do her science or social studies. And it is unfortunate for you for literacy, but like you would have a pause in that action and have to, and then revisit that later in the day. And so you would come back. And so when you add up those times, they should be at 1:35. And if there are a few minutes over, it was because we realized you had to have a couple of minutes to like reemphasize everyone. So, so from Michelle's point of view, Michelle would teach in 9:10 to 11:15, a 90 minute math block, and then her science and social studies. Then she would get a new group of kids who would teach her science and social studies. And then in the afternoon, she would teach her math.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying. That does make sense. One, sorry to be annoying again, but one thing to then also consider with all this is, sorry, I lost my Zoom tab, is it looks like Penn is just going to be with one of my groups. So I'll be getting support from STL with one of my groups, but then my other group will not be getting that support. So then I don't know what the thought process is. That are we like clustering kids? Or are we going to try and put kids in a group where you get where I'm going with that?
So what I was thinking about is because it's reading partners and they have also more flexibilities. So they will be, hopefully they will be pulling more kids or they will be pushing with more kids at both groups.
David, you're muted.
Sorry, I'm meeting with some students' parents in Google Meet right now too. So I just told them that I'm in another meeting and I'll be right there.
We'll send this stuff out to the larger staff. I'd love to find a time to come back and be able to move forward. And then I'd also like to, you know, start to turn our energies towards defining the morning time for some of these early release days. I guess I would just say if we're trying to work around my schedule, it's not pretty next week. It would have to be Monday afternoon, which doesn't give us a lot of turnaround time, or Friday afternoon, which is everybody's favorite. So we could also, you know, I'm in constant contact with Ryan and Esther. I don't know if you guys are comfortable just meeting on Tuesday. I'll be in CSC. I could try and, you know, pop over if we wrap early, but we could just touch base on Tuesday as a committee. And if I'm not there, you know, I'm comfortable with Ryan and Esther representing, you know, my team. If you guys are comfortable with that.
Meet on Tuesday.
Yeah. I would be in CSC at that time. So if people are okay with Ryan and Esther kind of representing, you know, the admin team, and we feel like Tuesday gives us adequate time to turn around and then come back and approve things, then we could just go ahead and do that.
Just to throw it out there, the Wednesday quasi Friday thing, maybe just to put a caveat on that one. I don't know if we want to have a little bit more time to gather ideas, form quasi committee or whatever is necessary to. That way teachers don't go too far down the road with something that is approved by SLT. And then maybe we switch it around on them next year just to forego that.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think we need to decide, you know, do we want to wait until we have the Wednesday thing truly fleshed out and then approve the whole big package? Or do we want to kind of approve what we have now, knowing that it's, you know, or what we would have on Tuesday, knowing that it's largely the schedule, but we've got some work to do on Wednesday, on Wednesday mornings. If you guys want, we could, you know, we could wait and establish something for Wednesdays and then meet again in a couple of weeks and then just to do a holistic approval. But then we're just kicking the general approval down the road.
Yeah, I think if we did two separate situations, punt the Wednesdays a little bit, maybe to the end of the month, or not totally the end of the month when we're all gone, but and then this is just my opinion, and then look to push on the main schedule in the next several days or in the next week or so. That way people can start kind of looking at those structural components of it and start planning for it. Even in their brain without writing it down. Or at least that's what I do.
Yeah. No, I think that makes sense. Cause then they have everyone's got the larger structure to hold on to and the big picture.
With the early release day,
toss around ideas.
With the early release day, I think as long as, you know, teachers understand that, you know, that there's that 2 hour chunk of time that we're still trying to develop, but as long as they know we're not doing 30 minute classes.
Yeah. Which
as long as they know that they're, you know, that I think at least middle school teachers will generally be just fine knowing that, you know, there's going to be some, you know, school-wide program going on for those 2 hours.
I'm comfortable saying right now that's not going to happen. We just have to figure out a way to meet our ELD legal requirements. I think for the rest of the minutes, for, you know, just the CDE minutes, we're okay because we're doing an every other week type of thing. Ryan, you always have that, you know, really strong in your head, so correct me if I'm wrong. It's just kind of, yeah, we've got this 2 hour block and we've got to loop back in terms of what it's going to look like, but it's going to be hopefully something really cool and something really different and not what people don't want to see with the 30 minute time slots. So why don't we do this? If you guys are comfortable meeting on Tuesday, you know, I'll be in CSC. So apologies. I actually won't be in there too long because they're doing the principal evaluation, at which point I have to leave. So I can jump back over and join you guys. And then we'll get moving on, you know, the early release stuff and revisit that, you know, towards the end of the year. All right. Well, thank you guys. Thank you everyone for your input. Thank you, Ryan and Esther, for, you know, leading the charge here. And we'll loop back on Tuesday and go from here.
Thank you, Ryan, for crash course for schedule. You told me in 2 hours out to schedule. So
you saved me on a lot of things because our schedule wasn't working for a while. So thank you.
Thank you all.
Thanks, everybody.
Yeah, have a good evening, you guys. Thank you.